Song number 131, I'll bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up, my mouth with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Thank you, my Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful to be in your house, to be able to give you my worship and my praise, Jesus. I love you, my God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, my Lord. Praise God. Amen. I wanted to do a special tonight. Just reminded this time of year just about how amazing, just awe-inspiring God is, and all the things that he does. Everywhere you look, you see a reminder of that power and that love that he has for us. And I'm going to sing tonight the song, Countless Wonders. It's one I've sang a few times. If you know the words, please sing along and worship with me. You reign in endless power above the world you made. Across the sky is written your majesty and praise. And still you move in mercy and hear the humble heart. For every soul that's searching, Jesus, there you are. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. mysteries of heaven and all your works displayed. Every star, every ocean, the universe proclaims. For every sun that rises, your faithfulness to me. Like the changing of the season, like the river to the sea. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. No one can fathom all your mighty works, oh God. Just one glimpse of you and I am overcome. You open up your hand and pour out once again your everlasting love. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Your beauty fills the sky. Your glory reigns in brilliant light. Great God of countless wonder, I will lift my eyes. Lift my eyes, lift my eyes. I will lift my eyes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. My God, I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you, my God. Let's sing song. Sorry. Still recovering from camp. Let's sing song number 219. Lord, don't let me fail.
Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. If my ways grow rough, keep me by thy side. If my eyes grow dim, Lord, just let me see something in my life thou hast done for me. Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. If my ways grow rough, keep me by thy side. If my eyes grow dim, Lord, just let me see something in my life thou hast done for me. Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. If my ways grow rough, keep me by thy side. If my eyes grow dim, Lord, just let me see something in my life thou hast done for me. Lord, don't let me fail. I want to be in the bride. If my way grows rough, keep me by thy side. If my eyes grow dim, Lord, just let me see something in my life thou hast done for me. Lord, don't let band. I wanna be in the bride. If my ways grow rough, keep me by that side. If my eyes grow dim, Lord, just help me see something in my life thou hast done for me.
Hallelujah, my Lord. I praise you, my God. I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. I love you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. And can we have Kirsten Inger and Mary Jo come up now, please?
I have so much gratitude to God in my heart tonight. I want to thank him for some opportunities that I had this week and some things he's doing in my own life, and thank him for so many different memories at camp. I too looked up the the song that Kirsten sang after she sang it, and it just really touched my heart, and it was great to see people that we don't always get to see. And one thing in particular that touched my heart was the way he moved on the kids. Cadence only got to be here the last day, but to watch her, like, just watch the walls come down some and her to open up, and just really, I could just see the earnest plea in her heart for God, and I know she loves him, and it was just precious watching all of them pray and reach out, and for Stella, just the joy of her getting the Holy Ghost and everything, and there were so many precious moments like that, and I just want to tell him how much I love him and ask you to worship with us.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God's still rolling stones away.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out. Surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free.
We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace.
Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy.
be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. 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 There's joy in the house of the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Glory, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, glory, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
thank you, my God. Praise you,
Jesus. Praise you, my God.
Praise your name, my God.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus, my God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there'll be shouting on the hills of glory, shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills, when we reach that land which we heard the story. There'll be shouting on the hills of God. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills, when we reach that land of which we heard the story. They'll be shouting on the hills of God. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills, when we reach that land of which we've heard the story. They'll be shouting on the hills of God. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget No, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Amen, Lord Jesus, my God, I love you, I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, glory, my God. I thank you, Lord, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done in my life, my Lord Jesus. I praise you, my God, praise you, Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, you may be seated. Janie, thank you.
Amen. Sing our last. Oh, Mandy.
I do want to thank God tonight for the peace and the joy and the love and the power that he poured out on us at camp. And what a blessing it truly was. And I'm ready for camp again, maybe not physically, but spiritually. Just that precious glory that he pours out on us, I just don't want it to end. And thank you for this opportunity to be here again tonight, to lift his name in praise and worship him.
Sing our last song tonight before Paul comes up and brings us the word of God. Song number 167, It Will Be Worth It All.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run this race. Trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. Trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I love you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Will you please stand for the word of the Lord?
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Hard to believe it's not even a week after camp, huh? And thank God for the wonderful camp he gave us all. And Stella getting the Holy Ghost, getting baptized. It's, our God is a wonderful God. I want to thank everybody that put their efforts into making the camp what it was. Because it's because of God's people that he can make a camp the way it is, the way he can bless his people and have his way with us. I just really felt in this camp before we had it that this was really a chance for all of us to get back in the fold and become the church that God's called us to be, with communion and everything, to put everything behind us and move forward. Amen. And I'm still in awe of it. I got a text from John when he got home. He said, I'm still on fire. And then he was sitting around playing guitar, and he had his wife and his son there, and he was singing that and I get a hallelujah. And he said that's the first time they've laughed as a family together for ages. So I know God's trying to do something there. So keep him and his family in your prayers for sure. We got several people that are out with surgeries. Ernie, keep him in your prayers. Sherry Larson. Buck's son, Johnny, he had a real serious tumor on his spine. They thought they were going to have to go right into the spine and then fuse it back together. And they got most everything out of there without doing that. The surgery went about as good as it could possibly went. They got about 2 weeks here. They're waiting for the final test results. But other than that, they thank everybody for their prayers here. And they know it was God that worked that surgery out the way it did, because he's been in enormous pain for months and months and months, and he's pain-free now. The only pain he's got is from the surgery. Praise God that he answers our prayers, right? I gotta look over a couple of my notes here. Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the Apostolic Assembly here in Soldotna, Alaska. I want to welcome our visitors, and our online folks that are diligent, make the effort to listen to us every week. We wish you could be here in person, but we're glad you're making the effort to be with us, and we just want you to join with us to worship and praise God. And thank him for all the blessings he's poured out in our lives and this beautiful salvation plan that he's given us all. Amen. I got a note here. So we just finished the 2022 church camp. 3 days of nothing but praise and worship together with brothers and sisters in God. What a glorious time we shared together. Amen. God definitely poured out that fire, and whenever that happens, Satan's right there to take it away. So I don't know what you've run into in the last 6 days, but we're in a battle. So, and it's not just him, it's our natures too. So don't give him any more glory than he has to have for anything that's negative he's done in our lives or is trying to do in our lives. Our main focus is to be unified in one heart and one mind with God. That's the only way we can get the job done he's called us to do. Amen. Question. How do we keep this love and unity of the Spirit God so freely gave us at camp? So I'm going to go into a few scriptures about this. A lot of them we've heard for years. But human nature being what it is, we need to be reminded that these things can trip us up. And we need to do all we can do to work on that perfection that God wants us to have so we can win the souls that he's got out there, make the changes that we have to make in our own personal life to make the rapture. That's what all this is about, just us getting the Holy Ghost, getting ourselves in a place with God that we'll make the rapture and win every person we can get a chance to win. And so, you know, it's pretty simple. Living for God is really simple. I think it's us that make it complicated occasionally. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. We'll probably start out here in verse 12. And it tells us right here what we have to do to be pleasing to him. And we need to be thankful for what he's done and what he's doing in our lives, too. I mean, I don't know if I'm as thankful as I should be myself. Sometimes I'm so used to God blessing my life that maybe I don't tell him enough. I try to. At the end of this teaching, there's a psalm I want to read that goes along with what John was talking about, how awesome God is and how much he loves us and how much he knows us and every little thing about us. We can't hide anything from him. No. Let's start out in verse 12, third chapter of Colossians. Put on, therefore, as the elect. You know what a blessing it is to be the elect of God? That's unbelievable. I mean, I look at myself in the mirror. What do you see in me, God? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness. Humbleness of mind. Don't think any more of yourself than you need be. Meekness. Always be tender to that touch of God and what he wants us to do and what he wants us to change, and towards each other. If God's like that to us, we need to be that way with each other. Amen? And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do. I was talking to a guy that I used to work with the other day. He doesn't have the Holy Ghost. But he went into something that happened 35 years ago with me, and how he still had this bitterness in his heart, man. He wanted something bad to happen to somebody after 35 years. I said, you need to come to church, man. You need to get that out. You need to get some peace and joy in your life. And he said he'd be here today, but I don't see him. And I told him, Satan's going to be right there to take what I'm telling you right now, take it away from you. I said, God's dealing with you right now or I wouldn't be talking to you. And he started crying and says, yeah, I know he is. But he's still not here today. He might be here next week or the week after. But the longer you go, when God's dealing with you and pulling on your heart, the longer you go, the harder your heart gets. You know, that scripture, today is the day appointed. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. It makes me sad because he was very emotional, so I know God was really, really touching his heart. He's not the kind of person that would cry. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. If we love like the 13th chapter of Corinthians tells us to love, we will be perfect. We'd be perfect. That's something, we're in a transition period right now. God's perfecting us right now. And he's wanting us to be perfected as much as we can be when he calls us home. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. God, all God wants us to do is be united. Be united. Let's drop down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. When we do something, not just for God, but for anything, we do our very best. We don't leave it half done. We don't complain, grunt, groan, and all that stuff. This is too hard. We're obligated to do our very best. Not only does it show the unseen witnesses, but it shows everybody around us that we're just a little cut above a lot of this stuff. It's a cut above. We won't leave it half undone. We won't just barely get by. We'll go the extra mile. Amen? Verse 24, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of his inheritance, for you shall serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for that wrong which he has done. And there is no respecter of persons with God. We're not the judge, God is. If something's not right, God will be able to take care of it. It might take quite a few years before God deals with something like that, whatever it might be. But God has got a long memory too. I think about some of them stories in the Bible in the Old Testament where people of God were wronged, and when their time came, God dealt with it accordingly. So we want to make everything right in this life as quick as we can and move on. Don't store any hatred, bitterness, and all that. It's all it'll do is hinder you and make you miserable. He called, my God is a happy God. He's full of joy and peace. And I don't want anybody to take that away from me. And I'm the only one that can stop that. Just things to think about. How could you get upset about anything right after camp? How in the world could you let anything bother you? After communion and camp. That was an awesome time. I've thought about that all week. You're just about bulletproof like that. If you let God take control of your life, there's nothing that can touch you after that. He's trying to do something with us. I mean, I don't even know what we all got at camp, but we got something. We got a lot of it, too. I mean, I remember in past tense camps that it might take 6 or 8 months before you finally see personally. It's just, oh, okay, I see it now, God, what you want me to do or what you want me to change or whatever. It gets you closer to him, too. It gets you a lot closer to him. You feel things that you've never felt before. That's one thing about the Holy Ghost. God can touch you differently for 100 years. He can put a feeling in you you've never had before, 80 years after you got the Holy Ghost. Amen? I felt it at camp. I mean, I felt it lots of time over here, but at camp, that was just so obvious to me that there was a loving, merciful spirit there, man, that just, you couldn't think bad about nothing. It's just like the day you got the Holy Ghost, right? You got to nurture that. You got to take care of that. If you let any bitterness well up in you, they take that away. Let's go to the second chapter, or let's go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's start out with verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. We're prisoners of love after we get the Holy Ghost. That's what we are. We're prisoners of love. Everything we do after that is intended out of love for our own good, for God and His Word. I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That means holy, with all lowliness and meekness, with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's not easy to do sometimes, but it says right here, we have to do that. And the only way you can do that is stay full of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Yeah. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our requirement right there. God wants us to be united in one body. We're family. This is family. We're the family of God. You family, you do everything you can do to take care of a brother or sister. Amen? I mean, we do it in the natural. How much more so in the spiritual? Let's jump over here to Ephesians, still the fourth chapter, but let's go to verse 23. This is what just happened to us. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God give us a fresh start. Amen? Don't you feel like that? I mean, seriously, don't you feel like that? Please don't let us get complacent. This is a battle. We're going to have to really push it. But don't let us go back into our old ways, please. It takes too much prayer, fasting, and studying to get to where we're at right now. We don't want to go in reverse. Amen? Amen. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that you put on a new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not just making a show out there. True holiness, your life reflects true holiness. Everything you say, you do, the places you go, the people you hang out with, the way you look. That all shows where you're at with God. God's people don't look the same as the world. They do not look the same. You can spot one a mile away. I remember working on the slope or going somewhere working. I'd walk in that Anchorage airport and there'd be a saint down there about two blocks, man, as soon as I seen him, bing. I felt like Mary and Martha when she saw. Was it Martha that she saw, and then her baby jumped in the womb? Oh, Elizabeth, wasn't it? Anyway, that's how I feel when I see a saint. I mean, I get excited, and my Holy Ghost starts jumping at me, especially if I haven't been around church for a few weeks. I mean, do you get excited when you come to church? I mean, I get butterflies in my stomach. I mean, I do anyway now that I have to teach, but I did before. I mean, I was excited to go to church. And I didn't miss unless I had to. I've crawled down there a few times, crawled home, but boy, I felt good when I was here. Verse 25, wherefore, put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's what I was just talking about. We are blood, spiritual blood, and we've been blood since the foundations of the earth, before the foundations of the earth. We're family. I mean, we got to start looking at this stuff in a spiritual way instead of natural. If you get your feathers ruffled, get over it. Get with your brother or sister and get this thing straightened out and let's go on. Amen? We can't do this work if we're not unified. There is no way. We can do it. This word tells us you can get over anything that ever happened in your life. Might not be overnight, but you can do it. You don't have to be 35 years trying to get over it. I'll tell you that, like that guy I saw the other day. And he's still not over it. We know even the natural anger and all that stuff will take you down. It's not even good for you, your health. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. And here's the part here that you don't hear about very often, that he may have to give to him that needeth. There's wants and needs out there. There's a difference between them. When there's a need, and we got the ability, we need to take care of it. And not be standing there at the doorway waiting for a return either. Take care of it, period. Don't make them feel bad. They already feel bad enough when they can't take care of stuff. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what it's talking about, being an example. Everything we say and do out there in that world, well, we start in our home first. But everything we say and do, we should be a blessing to God. Not him having to say, ooh, there he goes again, or there she is again. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That tells you right there, don't hold on to nothing. That Holy Spirit will help you get rid of anything you've got in there that's not right. Verse 32, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted. Are you tender-hearted? I mean, I'm just asking a question. I'm working on it myself. That means everybody and everything all the time. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, us. That's the word of God right there. That doesn't give us any room to slide. These are the rules we have to live by. Amen? But they're not grievous. You got to just give in to your natural. Just beat it down. You're not going to rule my life anymore. Your feelings and emotions in the natural are 180 degrees from what God requires us to be like. Let's go to Psalms, 133. Just a couple of verses there. This is how God feels about unity. Psalms 133, verse 1 and 2. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon the head that runs down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now, there's a story behind that there. But in the spiritual realm, if you think about it, camp and everybody was united, and you think about that spirit coming on you, it just flows down through you. Didn't it do that? Amen? I mean, it did it for me, and I was the only one in camp. Come on, didn't it do it for everybody? I mean, you could just see that. Come on, people. That's the way we want to live. That's what he says. This is what living in one mind and accord is, just like a precious ointment. You couldn't be mean to a brother and sister in the middle of that. No way. No way. God created us to live together. Yeah, we got that part in there about sharpening each other by, like steel on steel. But that should be the end of it. That shouldn't go on and on and on. If a brother or sister crosses you, says something you don't like, where's the trust? If you don't trust them, at least trust God, that they're one of God's and he's able to get them to where they need to be. Amen? I mean, look at the mercy he's had on each and every one of us. There isn't one seat in here that have anybody in it if it wasn't for the mercy and love of God. And we need to show that to each other. I mean, I feel an urgency about this teaching right here. I feel an urgency in my heart about it. I don't know who this applies to or nothing else. How many people it applies to, anything else. I feel an urgency from God to teach this, though. That if you've got anything inside your heart, it needs to come out. Start over. He gave us a chance. He gave us all a chance here about 6 days ago. It's up to us to take advantage of that. Amen. Let's go to James, the third chapter. Because this right here is where a lot of problems start, right here. Before I get too far into this, it talks about your tongue. It's an unruly member, and it's full of poison, and on and on and on. And we know about saying guile, for instance. If you got something in your mind and you don't really like, but you don't want to come out and confront anybody with it, you say it in a kind of a slippery way, a way that you don't come right out and say it, but they can feel it. That's not right. Your words can damage somebody forever. I mean, we know that there's just from the news that people be harassed and stuff, they'll go out and kill themselves, especially younger people, because somebody made them feel like dirt, basically. Words hurt, and you can't take them back. Strife and contention, words. Unhappy. I don't like the way things are going. Go to the leadership if you got a problem with something. Don't stir everybody up in the church about something. You don't even know the whole story 99% of the time. Words. When we read this here, it was an eye-opener for me, and I've seen this thing 50 times. But there was things in here that I don't know. Maybe I didn't put them in the right order they should have been. I don't know. But I saw a lot in this when I was reading it. So we'll start out in the third chapter of James, verse 1. My brethren, be ye not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Now this is talking about, the first part there is talking about teachers and the responsibility they have. And if you're going to take that on you, you need to realize that there's a lot of accountability to that and responsibility. Then it goes on and talks about the tongue. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, have you ever sat somewhere at a restaurant or even at work at break time and just hear somebody just talking about all this stuff? And, you know, they can do this, they've done that, and all this stuff. I mean, they might not even be saying nothing about anybody, but they're just boasting, okay, about how good they are, what they've done, and all that. We watch what we say. Our minds and our tongue are controlled. Especially with a group of people, we want to project God's word. in our conduct, the way we talk, the way we act. And I'll tell you, when you're at work and you profess to be a Christian, they're watching you. School, like we've talked before, anywhere that there's a lot of people that know us that we don't know them. And we hear about it once in a while. And most of the time it's good, but once in a while we hear something that's not quite so good. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among all our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire of hell. For every beast, every kind of beast, and birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now that's the word of God. That tells you just exactly what our tongue's like. And that doesn't mean there's just a few people. That means all of us are capable of this stuff right here. And the only way you can control your tongue is being full of the Holy Ghost. And I mean full of it. Amen? Verse 9, therefore we bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed the blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You can't have it both ways. You gotta live for God 100%, or you can't stay on the edge forever. You're gonna fall off. I always liked it. When I was a kid, I used to run down walls and little skinny places I could run, and I just had pretty good balance. But every once in a while, I'd fall off. That's what happens when you walk in the middle of the road. You're gonna fall. You can't do it forever. Verse 13, who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. You can be highly intelligent and not know how to interact with people. Sometimes people that are very intelligent look down on people. They get narcissistic. Everybody's below them. In God, if you got the wisdom of God, it shows in the way you operate. It shows in your love, your mercy, your kindness, your peaceful to be around. You got an answer out of God's word for everything that comes up, because you study and you pray. And God quickens your mind when it's time to use you in a certain situation. Amen. Verse 14, now this just kept coming up. But if you have bitter, envy, strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Here's what we want in our lives right here. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, thinks no evil. Then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's easy to be entreated. It doesn't get bowed up when you bring something up to them. It's full of mercy and of good fruits. Without partiality, it's not a respecter of persons, and it's definitely without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Are we peacemakers tonight? We have to be. If we're not, we need to get there. God gave us the power to forgive everybody, to live a holy life, to get any resentment, bitterness we got out of us. He gave us the power to do that. You can't do that in the world. It's impossible in the world. But it's possible with God, right? Let's go to Psalms 139. Put your spiritual ears on for this, because this is what I was talking about when we first started, about how awesome our God is, how much he loves us, and how much he knows about us. He knows everything about us. He knew us when you know where it talks about you're predestinated? I mean, in my mind, I always wondered, all I can see is space out there and just a thought. You know, was I just a thought back then before he created me? What was I? A lot of that stuff we don't know. But when I read this chapter here, if you really think about what it says in here, he talk about an awesome God that loves you and cares about you and knows everything about you before you were even born, when you were in the womb. This is an awesome chapter, man. When I read this thing, I was crying, boy. The more I read it, the more I felt God, and the more I was thankful for all he's done for me, man. And I know I don't tell him enough, even. I try to, though, but I know I don't. Psalms 139, start out in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows our personality. He knows what bothers us, what doesn't bother us. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He knows exactly why we say something, what's really in our heart. Now just think about this stuff while I'm reading it, because this is pretty deep. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it unto it. Whether I shall go from thy spirit, or where should I go from thy spirit, or where shall I flee from thy presence? Just to think about God. He always was, always will be. He's everywhere, all-knowing at one time. And we go through our life, and we have thoughts and actions and stuff, and God sees everything we do. We don't even think about that when we're in that place. We're not full of the Holy Ghost and spiritually minded. We don't think about a lot of stuff. We don't think about how deeply God knows us. We cannot disguise our feelings. We have to admit we have a problem, and we have to go to him and have him take it away for us. Amen. Verse 8, if I ascend up into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there too. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand, the power of God, shall hold me. That shows you that how much love got you, that right hand. The power of God shall always hold us. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, that's beautiful, man. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Just think about how awesome he is. I start reading this, I could not believe that I didn't absorb it like I did this time. I've read it before. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works, and that my soul knoweth right well. That fearfully here means, it doesn't mean fearfully made. It means the awesomeness, It's just projecting the power of God. He is an awesome God, man. We can't put him in a human form. And I think we think about him that way sometimes. That, okay, if I put God right here, then I can understand him. But he is so awesome that we can't even wrap our mind around him. But he tries to tell us something. These are David's words to him, but they're for us. Read verse 12 again. Yeah, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike of thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, that thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought into the lowest parts of the earth. This is awesome. I don't know if anybody's getting anything out of this, but I do. It's awesome how God, the ability he has to see every little part of us before we were even born. When we were born, he's had his hand on her all her life. He's protected us to bring us to where we are right now. It's amazing. Verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when said, yet there was none of them. How precious are they, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. For if I should count them, they are more in number than the sands. When I awake, I'm still with thee. You think about all the things that God's done for you all your life, even before you knew him. What a wonderful God, man, that loves us and cares about us. I mean, he cares about, you know, you read the scriptures, and he knows the numbers of hairs in your head when one sparrow falls from the ground. But I don't think I ever really looked at it, just how God really does look at us, that how he's looked at us forever, before we're even born. We're about done here, John, if you want to call up the kids. Let's go down to verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into that way everlasting. That should be every one of our prayer right there. If I got anything, God, that's not right with you, tell me about it. Show me so I can change it. I want to be pleasing to God. That's all I want to do, be pleasing to God. And the rest of my life, it just takes care of itself. I don't want anything in the world to get between me and God. I don't want my priorities to change. I want them to be on God. And I know them things, but it's a battle to stay there. That's what I was talking earlier. Satan will do all he can do to take what we got at camp away from us. And it's up to us to keep it. Amen. So tonight, that's all the scriptures and stuff I have for tonight. Tonight, if you got anything you want to talk to God about, if you need the Holy Spirit, if you got things you need to make right, whatever. This altar's open for whosoever will. And I'll guarantee you, God will be here. If you're honest with God, he'll be honest with you. Amen.
Praise God, this altar's open for you. As Paul was reading that last scripture in Psalms, made me think of a song, No Longer Slaves. We'll start off with that tonight. Please come to this altar and reach out, get all that God has for you.
my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All my fears drown in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.